the John 17 movement and their demonic dance with Rome. That is the message I have for you here today, ladies and gentlemen. And actually, this is a recording that I made just yesterday. It was part of the Bible study from John chapter 17. In fact, I saved it to speak about that movement for that chapter. But I know a lot of people don't like Bible studies and so on. But so what I did is I took the clip from this study and I made a separate video out of it, so you can hear as I address this issue regarding this demonic John 17 movement. So let me play the clip for you here. And at the end of that clip, I'll come back and I'll have other things to say. So listen carefully. So I have to address, there's a movement called the John 17 movement. And this movement basically it justifies joining with other denominations, including the Roman Catholic Church. So, you know, this movement was basically started by a man by the name of Joe Tosini. He's a Pentecostal minister, and he believed the Lord spoke to him back in 2013 and about seeking unity amongst the Christians, and including the Catholic Church. And he had a desire to meet with the Pope. And, you know, he met with the Pope in 2016. I think on that day, one of the days, he might have met at different times for almost 3 hours. And the Pope even invited the people that went over there with him to take selfies with him. So let me just say something here, folks. The Pope is no dummy. You know, stuff like this is all over the papers. So when you are taking pictures with the Pope, and now you're showing everybody, Catholics and Protestants and so on and so forth, together, that's exactly what the Church of Rome wants. And up on a screen you can see, you know, you'll be able to see, in fact, you'll see Francis Chan. He's a well-known minister. He met with the Pope in 2017. And, you know, there's a lot of talk amongst different circles now about the Catholic Eucharist, okay? And I'll be dealing with that, too, in this message. So, you know, what's happening here, folks? This unity that I've been speaking about basically since I'm saved, that's what you, that we're all one, you see? That we're all, we may have our differences, but we're all Christians. We all believe in the same Jesus, but that's not true. That's not true. So, I know that because the real Jesus saved my soul and by the Spirit of God told me to leave the Roman Catholic Church, that they preached the counterfeit gospel. So stuff like this this John 17 movement, it's basically really nothing new. I've spoken many times about, you know, Billy Graham, how he worked with the Catholics. He's worked with the Catholics since the 1950s. He's not alive anymore, obviously, but the majority of his ministry, he did work with the Roman Catholic people. Now, in fact, they would use the Roman Catholics as counselors at his crusade meetings. So they would go up and fill out a card, and if they said they went to St. Mary's Church down the block in New York or something, that's where the Graham organization would send them back to that Roman Catholic Church. In fact, if a person was Jewish, and they came forward at an altar call at Graham's crusade, they'd be sent back to their synagogues. Think about that now. Now, Jesus said for the true believers, they would throw you out of the synagogues. So here they are, they're sending them back. So you meditate on that a little, folks. So, you know, Billy Graham, he also met with the Pope, and at one of those meetings, he met with the Pope, and the Pope told him, Pope John Paul II grabbed him by the thumb, I think, and he said, Graham, we are brothers, okay? So this stuff's been going on for a while. Keep in mind that John Paul II referred to true born-again believers in Brazil at one point in time. He called them rapacious wolves. So much for Christian unity. So this is the same Pope who had the words, Totus Tuus Sum Maria, written on the inside of his papal garments. Those words, what do they mean? Mary, I am totally yours. It doesn't leave any room for Jesus Christ, does it? So, you know, this is the same Pope John Paul II who had a meeting in 1986 in Assisi, Italy, with 12 major religions, and they're all praying to God. Think about this. Witch doctors, Jewish people, Muslim people, Buddhists, and so on and so forth, all joining together. So this is why I'm warning you once again. So, Franklin Graham, he continues to do the same thing. They work with the Roman Catholic people. He does that at his Christian festivals. That's what they call them. Louis Palau, he's been described, called the Billy Graham of South America. This takes the cake, folks. I mean, I think I've heard it all, but, sometimes I can't say that I have. In 2007, he did a crusade in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, think about this. Now, here's a clip from the Catholic Voice, the Archdiocese of Omaha, from August 10th, 2007. It says, Palau's July 2007 festival in Omaha, Nebraska, was endorsed by Catholic Archbishop Eldon Curtis. Not only did the Catholic Archbishop address the crowd personally, but the Catholics were allowed to put up a tent at the entrance to the venue to distribute rosaries and Catholic material, and priests greeted the people as they entered the crusade grounds. Let's stop the clock right there. Folks, as I said, I am a former Roman Catholic. I did not know Christ before I was born again the biblical way. I grew up in a church that tells you you're born again when you're baptized as an infant. I was baptized as an infant. I was on my way to hell. So here we have a festival, a crusade, whatever you want to call it, back in 2007, July 2007. And now, here, think about this. I'm preaching the gospel to people. I'm telling them. I've witnessed the Catholic many times. And I would explain the difference. I would tell them, you need to leave that church. So here we have this crusade, this festival, and Rome is allowed to work with them. Can you imagine? This blows me away. They set up a tent. You know what those tents look like, those portable tents where people have rallies and crusades? A tent. And now here's a priest. They're greeting the people who are coming in. They're handing out rosary beads and Catholic material and cards. Anybody who would go to the altar, they will now be referred back to the Catholic churches in that area. That is what is known as spiritual insanity. Oh, I cannot believe this, folks. So keep in mind that Pope Francis said, if a Catholic does not, pray the rosary, pray to Mary, maybe she's not going to give you the son. That's heresy. Can you imagine that? Mary won't give you the son if you don't pray the rosary. Pope Francis said that. You can look it up for yourself, folks. That's bondage. That's all it is, Roman Catholic bondage. Catherine Kuhlman was another one who was used by the devil to promote unity with the Roman Catholic Church. She had an audience with Pope Paul VI, and she often had Catholic priests and nuns right up on the same stage, the same platform with her, during those big healing crusades that she had, and she believed it lent credibility to her ministry. So, folks, as I said, the Lord pulled me out. I know by the Spirit of the living God that the Catholic gospel is a cursed gospel. Galatians 1:8 and 9, it says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Right from the mouth of the Apostle Paul, that man was in deception for many, many years before he got saved. You could find that in Acts chapter 9. He was a tyrant. He persecuted Christians, consented unto the death of many Christians until he got saved. So he knows what he's talking about, folks, when it comes to a false gospel. So, can a true Christian have unity with the church that proclaims a false gospel? Absolutely not. The reason stuff like this is happening, folks, is because people fail to take heed to the warnings that are found within the Word of God, the Scriptures. Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? No. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You're not supposed to join in unity with them. You're supposed to reprove them. Jesus himself, Matthew 24:4-5, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Oh, yes. Listen to this, folks. This is a judgment of God when people start joining hands with people who preach a false gospel, from the same Apostle Paul, 2 Thessalonians 2:7-9. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Listen, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Look at that. It says, and for this cause, who sends the delusion? God shall send them strong delusion. That means a working of error. God allows it to happen. It's a judgment. Why? Because the people did not have a love of the truth. They just ignore it. You come forth with the warning. I've preached the gospel to Catholics. They just blow me away. Get out of here with that stuff. Well, this, here's the judgment right there, folks. You know, you're talking about the true gospel, folks. The cross of Christ. That Christ paid it all. And when you think of the Catholic teaching that the Catholic Mass satisfies the justice of God, that's heresy. Can you imagine it? The joy of the Lord fill my soul, folks. And when I realized that Christ paid the price for me. And here they are declaring that Catholic Mass is the continued sacrifice. It's the same sacrifice in an unbloody manner. That's what they teach. Oh, yes. So that's heresy. Can you imagine you have a car payment, you finally paid off, and you paid off, and you're so happy, and I got this thing paid off, man. $400 a month I'm laying out for this. You feel like it's never going to end. And finally you pay it, the final payment. Then there's a knock on your door a week later. And they say, hey, where's your payment? And you say, wait a second, I paid this off in full. Here's my proof. And say, no, well, yeah, we understand that, but we just got to keep doing this for the rest of your life, every week. And you look at the guy like he's crazy. And so here's the cross. Jesus Christ paid it all. He paid it in full. It's finished. Yet the Catholic Church says, no, the Catholic Mass, this is what satisfies the justice of God. Oh, yes, and you'll find that in the new St. Joseph Baltimore Catechism, item number 361. How about transubstantiation, that the priest can change the bread and wine into Jesus Christ? That's another diabolical teaching, folks. Oh, yes, that they have this wafer host. You'll often find it being carried by the Catholic priest in the monstrance. I'll give you a picture on the screen. And they believe that's Jesus Christ, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that, you're under a curse. One of the curses from the Council of Trent, which was upheld by the Second Council, Vatican Council number 2. So this is what we're dealing with here, folks. Keep in mind that you go in unity. You say we're all one, that we may be one. You're joining with this, folks. And they make no bones about it. They still teach that they're the only true church. So let me give you a couple of those curses right here. This is from the Council of Trent, 13th session, canons on the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. Listen to what they say here. If anyone denieth that in the sacrament of the most holy Eucharist are contained truly, really, and substantially the body and blood together with the soul and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and consequently the whole Christ, but say it that he's only there in as in a sign or a figure or virtue, let him be anathema, accursed. Let you be accursed. So, you know, by the way, this is what the reformers stood against. They said, no way, I don't believe that at all. So they tortured them and they burnt them at the stake, many of them. So you're joining in unity, folks. Oh, we're one. We're all brothers. No, you're not. Maybe you think you are, but not with me, folks. I know what the Lord saved me out of, folks. Here's another one. This is from the Council of Trent, 13th Session, Canons on the Most Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist, Canon number 6. If anyone said that in the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist, Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is not to be adored with the worship even external of latria, and is consequently neither to be venerated with a special festive solemnity, nor to be solemnly borne about in processions according to the laudable and universal rite and custom of Holy Church, or is not to be proposed publicly to the people to be adored, and that the adorers thereof are idolaters, let him be anathema, accursed. So if you dare to say, you know, I'll put a thing on the screen, this goes on today. It's probably going on right now somewhere. That's a monstrance. You see a priest carrying the monstrance. That's the Blessed Sacrament. That's the Eucharist. That wafer in the middle is a piece of bread. Basically, if you dare to say that's not Jesus Christ, let you be accursed. That we can't adore them. And they make it clear, don't call us don't say we're idolaters. So obviously the reformers were coming against Rome, and it says you're idolaters, you're in idolatry. That's what you're doing. So they say, if you dare to say that. So the Council of Trent was a response to the Reformation. Oh yes. And this is what you need to know. So when you talk about unifying, saying we're all one, this John 17 movement, oh no, don't fall for it, folks. Don't fall for it. How about purgatory? You know, that there's this intermediate state between heaven and hell. People are having those Catholic masses offered up. A priest is offering up the sacrifice of the mass, okay? For dead people, for living people. Uncle Charlie, who died 35 years ago, people are still having masses offered up because they believe he might be in purgatory suffering. Folks, that's bondage. Do you want to join in unity with something like that? In fact, Martin Luther flipped out when they used to collect money, selling indulgences so that people could rescue their loved ones out of purgatory. That's how St. Peter's Basilica in Rome was built, folks. Can you imagine this? And he said, enough is enough. To this day, people have mass cards. They'll make a donation, purchase a mass card so that a Catholic priest can offer up a mass, the sacrifice of the mass for the loved ones, the parents, their relatives, the friends that they believe are in purgatory. We could go on and on talking about Mary and the dead saints and so on and so forth. But you know, I think you get the picture by now. Okay, so you heard it for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. I gave you many examples. You know, if you've been listening to this YouTube channel for any if you've been listening to this YouTube channel, you know that I speak out very often on the counterfeit unity working with the Church of Rome. So if you can listen to what I just spoke and have no problem with unifying with the Church of Rome, then something is wrong. Absolutely, because clearly we see that the Church of Rome, they preach a counterfeit gospel. We took a look at the Mass and how they call it the sacrifice of the Mass, the same sacrifice as the cross. I spoke about purgatory. I spoke about transubstantiation and how they believe that piece of bread, that wafer, is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe that you are under one of their curses. That is on the books today, ladies and gentlemen. Those curses from the Council of Trent, they are real. They're on the books. Cardinal Dolan, the cardinal from New York, he boasts about the Council of Trent and how it's an effective council. You know, that was a response to the Reformation, as I said and the video. So, you know, if you can listen to this and have no problem with unifying with Rome, then something is wrong with your walk, ladies and gentlemen. Being born again, you're born again of the Spirit, not by being baptized as a little infant. So when you can join with a church that preaches one false doctrine after another, what you're doing is you are disobeying the Word of God. That's what you're doing. So you're joining with a church that is opposed to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. So you need to, the time is now, ladies and gentlemen, to get real. I mean, no more religious games. If you're going to join with Rome, then join with her. If your pastor's going to join with Rome, let him join with Rome. And if you want to continue there, that's your choice. But I'm here to tell you today, don't do it. You're being seduced, okay? You're being bamboozled. That's in fact, a word in the dictionary today, they have a word every day in the dictionary, and the word was bamboozled. You're being bamboozled. You're being bamboozled. You're being hoodwinked. And if you can allow that to happen, see, so what you're doing is you're ignoring the warnings from the Word of God and choosing to go in the wrong direction. So I'm going to leave it right there. Folks, once again, you be blessed and you have a great day.